This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 529, recorded July 26th, 2017. I am Brian Kilby, and with me, I am joined by my amazing crew of podcast friends, starting off with Diecast.
Don't believe him.
It's true. Chris.
Wonder Twin powers activate?
Power of Hawk. Power of
no,
Icicle.
Power of Dicks.
Power of Dicks. Brian Kilby and his amazing friends.
Yes. And here's Firestar right now, Don Ferguson.
Huzzah.
Hello. And Iceman, Melvar.
Well, then who's Miss Lion?
Iceman doesn't have a catchphrase or anything, so I don't know how to follow that up.
I'll be Miss Lion. Arf, arf. Arf, arf, arf. You have to be Aunt May, though, Don.
Well, no, John DeLuna's Aunt May.
John is Aunt May. John, are you Aunt May?
Oh, yeah. I'm the hot Aunt May from the news. I'm 70 year old Marissa Tomei that still looks like 30.
She's in her 50s, isn't she?
Yeah.
52 or 53, I think. Yeah.
That's looking 53 I've ever seen.
And, when she filmed that movie, Spider-Man, she was a year older than the actress that played Ruth McClanahan in Golden Girls.
Yeah, scary. And Peter Parker himself, Rob Clay.
Hi.
Now I have Spider-Man and the Amazing Friends. The episode Seven Little Superheroes specifically is stuck in my head.
Everyone thinks about that whenever you bring it up, because it's the one that everyone goes to.
Because I actually was able to get that at VHS at a Winn-Dixie in, like, 1987. Probably everybody had that same tape that I had. Man, God, deep cut. Okay, so actually, funny enough, I am organizing my toys, and I put a picture out on Twitter, and it looks terrible right now. But I finally have a shelf that's dedicated, or a whole bookcase that's dedicated to non-Transformers. So all my Marvel stuff, I'm really proud to have my Marvel Secret Wars, Spider-Man, and Iron Man on it. So, you know, if I go crazy, I could potentially go for, like, all the Secret Wars figures. But hopefully I don't go that crazy. But I could. Man, a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Hopefully you've probably heard about it if you look at the news. But if you only get your news through us, we love you very much. We want you to know that. But a lot of stuff happened. And we'll get into it from a leak that happened on Friday of last week to basically...
To another leak that happened on Monday.
2017 and the first part of 2018 happened on Monday, basically.
Hey, maybe it did and maybe it didn't. You know, we can't really confirm or deny.
Yeah, well, we'll...
But take the pictures down.
We can talk about it. We'll talk about it. But before that, let's go ahead and jump to, did anybody get anything this week?
I got Wave 5.
Jealous.
So, you know, last week I had Overlord.
Jealous.
Now this week I have Misfire and Twin Twist and Windblade.
I thought you were waiting on Misfire.
This is Hey Mickey's Misfire.
Ah. Oh, you opened his toys. Okay.
Yes, I'm going to take pictures and hopefully video of it if I can find the time. He was fine with it, just warned me that if I found a defect, I was stuck with it. Little does he know, there's still three more in Nashville I can go switch it with.
Nice.
So Windblade is a little bit better than I thought it would be based on the pictures. The forearms still look ridiculously tiny, and a big problem with it is that they're just kind of, this is the underside of the jet, so the forearms are just kind of hanging out there, and they're also perfectly visible from above. They're not hidden at all.
I mean, oh, wow. Every Windblade seems to have that exact same problem. You think they would take it so her elbows could bend in and they could at least tab under the wings or something.
Maybe canonically that's what she's supposed to be like.
Well, it still sucks.
Then it also has these little, like, stabilizer-looking wings on the forearms, except they point down and basically become part of the landing gear, so to speak.
That's the same thing just, that movie Megatron leader Megatron does.
It just looks so wrong. But you know, the pictures made the back end formed out of the legs look kind of bad. It's more put together looking in person. I think it's just been photographed badly. The one thing I kind of regret is that with the swords, when they peg together to become the one big sword, there's not like a like a 5mm crossbar or something to hold the whole thing out as like a slashing stabbing weapon. It just has to be held by one of the regular pegs, be offset. Mm. So it doesn't really make it as good looking a super weapon, I don't think. But I kind of like the styling of them with just the clear edges and the rest painted in silver. It actually looks really good that way. And aside from the forearms, the proportions don't really bug me that bad. Let's see.
Oh, quick question before we move on from Windblade.
Yeah.
Have they fixed the bobbleheading that has plagued every other version of this mold family?
No.
Wonderful.
So, as it was, when it came out of the package, the head would only rest at an angle. And so the only way to fix that was to do the normal thing of turning the Titan Master's head around and having that face front. Then it would actually like sit normal. So it's not any better. Mm-hmm. It's just a curse for that engineering family. Misfire does not feel like a retool of Trigger Happy. Now, that's both because the transformation has largely been re-engineered and also just because it does not feel quite as good as Trigger Happy.
Interesting.
It's not bad. The back end doesn't really secure in a way I would like it to.
That
like,
happens after you get so old.
It just kind of, the legs kind of just rest in position. There's not any tabs or grooves or anything to guide them in. And I've found that the hinge part of the pelvis that extends the hip joints out so that the back end will rest in the right place tends to want to ride up as you're trying to get everything else aligned. It's not a very strong hinge, and the hip joints overpower it super easily. So as you're going about it, you don't notice that happening, and it just feels like everything's getting out of alignment. You can't figure out why. It's kind of a pain.
Well, now, Chris, now that you've got Misfire in hand, yep. Do you see getting the Takara version worth it, even though you're getting the Target Master based on what you're seeing in just the mold itself?
Oh, I'm still going to get the Takara one. I want the Target Master. Okay. I want the Target Master, and I've wanted a Misfire update forever. Yeah. And it's not a bad toy by any means, but like if you're going into this expecting it to feel like Trigger Happy did, it's not going to. Both just for engineering changes and just kind of the way the toy works with itself now. Flipping the wings around, like, so you have to fold the arms up, but at the same time you have to be turning the wings. And you can't really do one and then the other. You have to be doing both at the same time, and it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Mm.
Looks good in robot mode, though. And the only problem I have with Twin Twist is just that the clip-in waist does not really hold very strongly, and that's mostly just a problem with the robot mode. There's enough others, well, I guess not. There's enough stuff going on here where, like, if you have it sitting down, it's not going to fold apart like that because the wheels are level, but in robot mode it's really easy to just like pitch the torso back trying to pose it because there's almost no tension on that hinge. The clips don't really work at all. A coat of super glue or something to thicken them up might help. I'm not sure, but the deco is good, the remolding's pretty good, the tread pieces on the arms look a little bit stupid, but that's pretty much the worst of it. The legs are almost entirely new parts, I think. The front half might be the same as on Topspin, but the back half is all new. It doesn't have the same kind of like rocket engines on it, so there's a fair bit of remolding on this, even though it doesn't feel as much like a new toy as Misfire or Windblade do. It's the least retooled out of this batch of deluxes, and I did not buy another Wolfwire for the hell of it.
Cool. Anything else?
Yes. So, in non-Transformers, I got a Romulan Warbird for $4. This is from the old Playmates line. I never had this ship as a child, and I'm very happy to have it now. And the electronics work.
And again, I just want to point out that I got it for free.
I don't care. I only got it for $4 more than you did.
But you both have one, and you're both winners. Because I never
a winner
got
is you.
I never had the Romulan. I had the Klingon at one point.
I had the Klingon one, too.
I got both.
I got that 1994.
I got it in
2014. I also want to mention that Walmarts right now are having clearances on their Legos, and some stores are having clearances on their Mega Block stuff too. I got this Halo Cyclops, this Gen 2 Halo Cyclops for $7. So if you're into this kind of stuff, it's definitely worth heading out and checking to see if they've got anything decent on clearance right now.
Now you need to find some kind of toy that's named Jean, and you can have Cyclops and Jean just yelling at each other.
So we keep actually speaking of X-Men, we keep losing Iceman here. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe something with his internet. He's melting. Yeah, he's melting. So me, I got Valvatron. I didn't get an oil change. I didn't really need one. My car wasn't quite 5 quarts. I would have probably taken 5 quarts, but wasn't 5 quarts. And I could never find my local Valvoline place. I found my local eBay place.
There you go.
And I got it on eBay.
So how much did that end up costing you?
The same as price as an oil change. So,
well, at least you didn't pay more than that.
Yeah, exactly. So I got that Friday. I was actually surprised by how small the package was, because they just reshipped it in the same package that they shipped it out to everybody in. So I thought it would be a little bigger, but nah, it's fine. I also got the Evolution of Prime 1-pack. I got that from Amazon.
It's a 2-pack.
It's a 1-pack.
It's a 2-pack. You only bought it for one figure, but it's a 2-pack.
So
It's a 1-pack with like a bonus eBay offset item.
Man, nobody's going to buy that War for Cybertron Prime, though.
No.
It's a crap. So I was shocked there are people who love that figure. It's
I like crap. It.
And somebody's going to buy it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are several third-party companies doing that era of figures now.
But it's not just that. It's just the figure's awful. It's not even the design. It's just the fact that it's so just unwieldy. It's just not a fun toy.
I wouldn't say it's an awful toy. It's pretty much the poster child for the over-engineering Transformers got to prior to 2012 and 2013.
With, like, Alternators.
Alternators is a whole different animal.
It's like an Alternator in deluxe form.
It's close.
I feel like Alternators are a product of neglect, whereas War for Cybertron Optimus was done on purpose.
That's possible. I never really actually thought about it. We may have mentioned it, but it's almost like canonically that any Alpha Trion, well, not any, because we got another one, but should be made from a cup mold, because starting off with the E-Hobby version that came out years ago.
Oh, you mean Orion Pax?
I'm sorry, yeah, Orion Pax. Like the Orion Pax and Dion figure that was, Cup and Wheelie?
Yeah.
And this one is, it's Cup. I like it. I actually like it, though. Surprisingly. I think he actually, in a way, makes a better Orion Pax than he did a Cup. Which is kind of sad. It really is.
Well, that's just because the cup we have doesn't have a good deco or face sculpt yet. So
I've already
read as good cup.
I've already forgotten the one that we're going to get from Takara. Is it gray or is it green? Or do we still not know for sure?
It's teal.
It's teal.
It's a very dark green.
Okay.
When's that one coming out?
September.
October. September.
Wow. Okay. That feels like so long away, but it's not.
And, you know, that's got a new face sculpt, it's got new arms, so it's, you know, they tried to do some extra stuff to it to cup it up a little bit more.
Cup it up. And I got finally a chance to fiddle around with my $150 Full Tilt. And I tell you what, I really love it. It's the most Full Tilt Transformer ever. It's the ultimate realization of Full Tilt. And the Trypticon that it comes with is not bad as well. So, I really thought that the hip fix was going to take forever. It's the easiest fix I've ever had to do. It's awful that I had to do it, but as far as...
Diecast only took 2 hours with it because he was doing a completely separate operation in addition to the primary fix.
I did it in 5 minutes. Yeah. It was super easy. Basically, you just undo that little hook thing where it connects to the leg. You screw two screws out. You take two screws out in the little black piece and you separate that. Then the gear pops out because of all the tension in the spring.
Flies across the room.
So I make a point to like do that like in a box or something. But then really, I cut the spring in half, but I didn't get it quite in half. So the one that was a little more than half was perfect. The other I noticed was, because I reused that in the other leg, I noticed it wasn't quite enough. So I ended up cutting the other spring. And I did it like 2/3 of the way, and it's fine. I didn't do anything else. I didn't do any trimming. I didn't do any greasing. It's fine. It's, again...
No cardboard stuffing?
No. It's dumb that I had to do it, but of all the things that people have had to do to fix toys, this is on the minor end of the scale.
relatively, I'd say, I would say the minor end of the scale would be like, okay, I'm going to put floor polish on these hip joints because Skull Cruncher can't stand up, or, you know, something of that magnitude. When you're getting into actually performing a surgical operation on a $150 toy, yeah. I don't feel like that's minor anymore.
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, I think it's dumb. Like, I worry more. I've never done the shoe polish thing, so I would worry that I do too much.
Floor polish. You don't want to do the shoe polish.
Floor polish. Shoe
you
polish.
You don't want to do the shoe
totally.
Polish.
Totally. Use shoe polish, Brian. It works fantastic.
Floor polish. So I've never done the floor polish thing or used super glue, so I would totally worry that I would apply too much or something.
Okay, so to alleviate... Other people probably have the same worry. So to alleviate that, the beauty of this floor polish, it's an acrylic product, and it's also soluble with glass cleaner. So if you do get too much on or something... you can wipe it down with glass cleaner. The floor polish will come off and you can try again.
Okay.
Unlike with the super glue where you stand the potential of like damaging or fusing a joint if you do it wrong.
Or your fingers.
This is a much safer and reversible process if necessary. The only flip side to that is that at some point in the future, you may have to reapply if the floor polish wears off to a certain point with movement of the joint.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. That's all I got. Matt, for while you're here.
Yeah,
before he cuts out.
And before my router cuts out for a third time, I got the Walgreens exclusive clone 2-pack of Wingspan and Cloudraker.
Jealous.
Very
jealous.
I like them both. Cloudraker doesn't, you know, tab together super well. He comes apart fairly easily, but Wingspan steals the set. He is just all sorts of fantastic.
I'm glad
it's a really simple transformation. A really simple transformation, but it's nice.
I'm glad you got him now along with everyone else. So hopefully when they do hit Walgreens, I'll have an easier time getting
same
them.
Same here.
Yeah.
I wound up with like 4 Brainstorms, though, like within a week of finding the first one. So just because I ordered it and found it.
The other thing, too, is Brainstorm was pretty easily available on Walgreens' website. The clones probably will be, too. You know, if you need to track these down, it's probably not going to be super difficult to do.
Yeah, we all thought Brainstorm was going to be really, really tough to track down initially, but turns out not so much.
And like in this area, if it came down to doing it just in a physical Walgreens location, it would have been because the stores around here, from what I saw, either stocked very, very few or none at all. I've never seen a Brainstorm in the Middle Tennessee area.
I think mine still has some.
I don't even have a Walgreens. So
I know. I'm just saying, like, the distribution can vary widely. As long as the website stocks them like it did Brainstorm, it should not be that much of a problem.
Though. And the good thing is, with TFCon coming up, TFCon USA, when you order some of those Pounce and Wingspan, when you order the Clone 2-pack, you can also order some deodorant and like some, any kind of other toiletry so that when you go to the convention, I know that joke is 20 years old and it doesn't really apply anymore, but I still have to pull it out when I can. Sorry.
And I also got the Evolution of Optimus 2-pack.
Wow. That looks really good.
Brian said it was a 1-pack. I'm not sure.
I know. I got both halves of the 2-pack though.
But your War for Cybertron Optimus though looks really good.
This mold is not holding up super well. He tends to fall apart around the waist in robot mode. I found stuff does not lock together super solid.
That's not good.
Yeah. Not as much of a pain to transform as I remember. I mean, it's still pretty bad, but I was able to do it from memory after 2 or 3 years. So, went together pretty well. Love the Orion packs out of the cup mold though. Fantastic. I love the face sculpt on the Titan Master. It's really nice. My camera sucks, so. But.
Yeah, it's not helping.
No. But trust me, it looks good. So.
I've seen pictures. I believe you.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, come to think of it, that War for Cybertron Optimus might not be in the best condition, because they've used it so seldom, the mold has probably not been well maintained.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Diecast, what did you get?
I got the 2-pack also.
You haven't opened it yet.
No, I haven't opened it yet. I kind of think Orion Pax's face is a little bit weird. He kind of has that look like someone just farted and I just smelled it. Kind of like the...
The smeller is the feller, my dad always said. My dad also was also stupid, so...
Yeah. And then I also got the Shadow Fisher upgrade kit for Ironhide and Ratchet, which moves the door panels from the sides of his legs up to the top, which I think makes this top section look a lot better because it was kind of bland right there, and now you can do a full side kick if you want.
Because he always did full side kicks.
Yeah, but it looks a lot better. It's a lot more animation accurate.
Yeah, but like holding it in hand, I really don't mind the side panels that much. I did in the photos, but like having it, they don't bother me.
You know, they didn't bother me after I got the figure, but now that I got them off there, it's so much better.
Okay.
So much better.
How hard was it to install those?
It wasn't hard. It was not hard at all.
Maybe you should have documented that on video.
I did.
Good.
Oh, okay. Good.
I recorded it. It's actually rendered now, and it can be posted tonight.
Sweet.
So look for that on RFC Reviews soon.
Yep.
Yes. And then I also got Movie Megatron.
So jealous.
Which just went up yesterday.
So jealous.
On RFC Reviews. And yeah, it's a Movie Megatron figure. He has he has broken ankle articulation though, which is interesting.
And so now that you've handled both, would you say that the Leader or the Voyager is the better toy?
I like the transformation of the Voyager. The Leader, I like the transformation of the Voyager, honestly, okay, a little bit better. And it sounds weird because I thought it was going to be the opposite way around and I was going to like the Leader better. But the front of the jet constantly falling apart to do the gimmick of the cannon coming out is very annoying. And he has a lot more tabs. The Leader has a lot more tabs to tab it in jet mode, and they tend to want to pop out.
Hmm.
So, but I love the face mask gimmick on the Leader. It's great. I also got another Valvatron because apparently after a couple weeks, when I originally did the Valvatron rebate, I couldn't find the confirmation. So I thought maybe I did it wrong or it didn't go through. So I did it again. And yesterday when I went to get my mail.
With the same receipt or did you go and get an oil change again?
No, it was the same receipt.
That's awesome.
So I opened it up and there was another Valvatron in my mailbox. So I was going to give it to Brian, but he already got his off eBay.
I mean, if you're just going to give it away, I'll take it.
I can give it to you at TFCon.
I'm not coming to TFCon, no. I guess.
This reminds me of the time that Image Anime sent me two Metals Ravages. And like a sucker, I sent the other one back at my expense. They didn't reimburse me shipping.
That's just kind of a word I can't say on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. I was too honest. Too damn honest.
No, I mean, like, if someplace sends you something extra by accident and asks for it back, they're kind of on the hook for shipping.
In the 1990s, that wasn't as clear-cut a rule. Like, Newegg...
Well, okay, I'll put it another way. If somebody in the 90s had sent me something extra and they asked for it back, yeah, I would send it back, but not until they pay for my shipping. I don't care if that's, like, you know, a common rule or not. That's my rule.
I'm pretty sure I knew even in the 90s that if somebody sent you something that you didn't ask for, you got to keep it.
Yeah, I was, like... I was too honest.
For example, Amazon accidentally sent me, instead of a PlayStation TV a couple of years ago when I ordered it on clearance, they sent me two, which is a full case. So,
whenever Amazon is over, like, sent me too much stuff, I learned that if it's like Amazon warehouse deals, you just tell them and they're like, keep it.
Okay.
So, I mean, typically that's been the case. If it's something that's like used or damaged, they just don't want to bother with it. So they sent me, I think I mentioned it before, they sent me like $300 in extra stuff last year and it was wonderful. But I told them, I'm like, hey, you sent this to me. And they were like, that's okay. Keep it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, would say that over a certain threshold, I would probably see if they wanted stuff back. I think $300 at once, I might be curious. Because that's a lot.
Yeah, it was. And that's the reason I just sheepishly is like, you guys sent me this stuff? Because I totally could use it. And I totally did. Let's see here. Anybody else get anything? Don?
Yes. I've got some stuff incoming that I purchased over the weekend. But right now...
What do you actually have? Because I have something coming that I want to save for next week.
what I was saying. I know that I've got some things coming. But what I did get this week was the clear version of Space Racer.
Guys, what do you think about that?
I think it's a clear piece of garbage.
I love him. It looks like he gained the power cosmic, and it's flavored like Jolly Ranchers.
The power cosmos, Don.
Power cosmos. So that's Toy World.
Yeah, yeah. This is the Toy World.
Is there a good one coming out?
X Transbots looks pretty good.
Okay, I'll wait.
Yeah. But you know, I am kind of a sucker for the clear plastics, and I think if the green was a little bit lighter, it would be a little bit prettier, especially in directed light.
Maybe more of a living green than a forest green.
Exactly. Yeah. Just so that way you would get more of the translucent effect. But when he's up against the light source, or at least just in indirect light, he looks really nice. So he pegs together solid. I've had no trouble transforming him. I've got to transform him back. Even has a post for a flight stand if you want to put him on a little flight stand so he can, you know, wee-oo. So
the Iger one came with a flight stand, I think.
I think I'd probably rather want to set that on like some kind of LED lit base, like maybe those little arc reactors they had with the Iron Man figures a few years ago.
You know, I kind of wanted one of those Masterpiece style sea sprays, but after getting the Legends version, I don't feel like I need it. I really like that.
Pretty good.
If I had a Cosmos that was as good, I think I'd be satisfied.
Also, you gotta think, like, Cosmos isn't something that'd be like high on the list because there's not like reuse potential out of it, but it's something that Takara doesn't have to license. So at some point, they're going to do an official Masterpiece Cosmos. I mean, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Anything else, Don?
No, I was just... But it looks like one of my things may not be coming because the seller is getting a lot of negative feedback in the past 5 minutes.
Oh, I hate that.
I hope that's not the same seller that you pointed me to.
No. It's
that one looks really good.
I mean, the seller had good feedback. It was 122 feedback. It was 99.7% positive. And then he's got eight negative feedback in 3 days.
Oh boy.
So
yeah, and it was my Scorn and Nitro.
No. So I'm really
looking best wishes for a smoothie bay dispute, Don.
Yeah.
So Don, to your point though about having something, I'm super excited to talk about what I'm going to get next week. We may actually do a topic on it. Rob, did you get anything?
No, I will have the same 2-pack most everybody has on Friday.
Cool. John?
It is, I think, away.
Okay.
So what happened this week, Brian, in history?
Oh, this week in history. So first and foremost, the last day of OTFCC 2003. Which has the distinction of being the first time I was in the same location as Donald Ferguson and WebTV's Frank. But if, at the time, I think seeing WebTV's Frank was a bigger thrill. God, the people, there's a handful of people who know what I'm talking about.
I was just about to say, how many people actually remember WebTV's Frank?
I do. And his website? God, his website was so awesome. It was so steeped in like 90s wrestling culture. He would post about everybody is like, if you're not down with that, you'll get an ass kicking. And he spelled kicking K-I-C-K-E-N. He just kept spelling everything that way. His web TV website, it had his van in it. And he just, God, it was the Wild West.
I'm sorry, everybody. Me and Kilby are having a moment right now.
That guy was awesome. I wonder whatever happened to him. But yeah, so honestly, maybe I got this was before Facebook and this was before Twitter. I guess I posted this to LiveJournal about how excited I was to meet WebTV's Frank. And I think in my OTFCC, oh God, I forgot. I don't want to point people to that article that I wrote about OTFCC because it's probably not PC in 2017, but man, I had a great time. That was the best convention for me ever.
And that was a pair of pretty good exclusives. That was a
was that the Sentinel
Shadow Striker?
No, that was Shokurak and Ape Link.
No, it wasn't. OTFCC 303 wasn't.
Oh yeah, those were 2000.
Yeah,
Shokurak didn't.
Yeah, that was 2003.
We're talking about 2003 right now.
That was, wasn't that Roulette, Don?
Yeah, Roulette and Shadow Striker.
Yeah, that that's what we got, those really great RF.
Those are like the room exclusives, like the actual exclusives.
Well, Sunstreaker was a room exclusive. Sideswipe, Roulette, and Shadow Striker were part of the con exclusives.
So was it the next year that we got the Mega Sentinel or whatever it was, and the Mega Zarak?
It should have, the next year in 2004 should have been a Sentinel Maximus, and Mega Zarak. Mega Zarak was the only one at the show, and then Sentinel Maximus, of course, was the.
Some people got Sentinel Maximus.
I got mine from Big Bad Toy Store. That's how I got mine.
I got mine a couple years after that because I went to BotCon 2004, not OTFC 2004, where I got my Action Master Breakdown. But
I'll say this though. Let's talk about OTFC CO3. So friend of the show, Glenn Hallett, because I like Glenn, and I know that Glenn, of course, has his detractors in the fandom. Glenn acquired the license from, or acquired 3H, I guess technically, from the Hartmans. And changed BotCon to OTFC CO. The first one was 2003. It's the Official Transformers Collectors Club. But prior to
convention,
that,
wasn't it?
A convention, sorry. Prior to that, BotCon wasn't like the official convention, though. It was just recognized as the Transformers convention that Hasbro would do business with. Don, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it was the most focused. For the product line.
I know Mark will correct me after the show is over. Mark Baker, writer, pal. He'll send me a note because he maintains a website that has all this information on it, and I should actually look at it before we talk about it. But in OTFC CO3 was Glenn's convention, and the 03 actually ran really well. 03, I think, was a rock solid convention. The next year was the one where things started falling apart.
I mean, to my memory, the only complaint anybody had about 03 was just that Sunstreaker was a room exclusive.
Yeah, and yeah. it was also the dinner.
Unless you were staying in the hotel.
In the dinner, yeah. Too, right?
I don't remember anything about the dinner specifically, but that was never anything I really paid attention to.
There wasn't like a vegetarian option, if I remember right. Yeah.
And also there was the left-right missile problem that some of the Sunstreakers and the Sideswipes came with two left or two right missiles. So there was a massive, basically, random parts. People were just meeting up in groups trying to trade out for the right missiles.
So, yeah, that's right. That was a big deal. So this wasn't my first convention, but it was the first convention that I traveled to and spent the entire time at. So this was a big deal for me, and I had a blast. I really did love it, and I got to actually spend a lot of time with friends that I had met before but never got to hang around with more than just a few hours, and it was just wonderful for me.
So John DeLuna is taking a moment away from Street Fighter V to comment in the chat how he misses things like the missile swapping. And
he could say that, on the podcast. People want to hear from him.
He could. He seems to be choosing not to. So I thought this was important to relay because I was thinking, like, that kind of part of the social aspect of the old BotCons and OTFCC that you didn't really get in the last decade or so because of how it grew and evolved. Like, you never got something like that quite the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was when Fun Pump took over, we had a lot more events and more things after hours to do, like going to Paramount or going to a concert or whatever the case may be, which is great. But you also kind of lost a lot of the free time that you could create your own social environs. And people just meet up and go out and grab food or sit in the thing and talk or look at an AV cart outside of a room watching Transformers tape because the people didn't bring anything for the video room because they forgot to set it up. Oh my God! I'm flashing back to '96 again. Oh shoot me, please!
But I really enjoyed 03. I learned a lot, and I got to see Don ask the question for the first time. And our friend Hooper X, who we retweeted a bunch this week, who used to be on the show back in like the '90s and early 2000s. We talked about the passing of Wally Burr a couple of weeks back. This was, or maybe last week. This was the one where he actually made Wally cry. Yeah, he didn't do it intentionally. He unintentionally trolled Wally. So, oh no, Don has Massey.
Why do you do these things, Don?
Because he's trying to get ratings for us. He's trying to pop numbers. So, Don, keep it going. So, Don,
I haven't petted my Massey today, and I won't pet him. So, Pet, pet, pet.
So also
pinch him. Get him going.
Also this week, BotCon 2000 opens in Fort Wayne. This was one I was not at. This was one that I followed closely. But other than the convention exclusives, which Don mentioned, Shocker Act and Ape Link, which were basically Transmetal Rampage and Transmetal Optimus, I honestly couldn't tell you much what happened at that convention. Don, do you have any memories specifically around the convention itself other than the exclusives?
I remember that great restaurant I was telling y'all about in pre-show.
Which one was it? What one? No, seriously, what was it?
Oh, no, it was there's a restaurant about two or three blocks down from the convention center that has a sign on the front door that says we can serve all of Fort Wayne 11 at a time because it only has 11 bar stools on one
awesome.
Counter. Yeah, some of the best pancakes I've ever had, though. But, yeah, that was the last year they were in Fort Wayne because the convention center had actually been remodeled recently in between the BotCon visits, mm-hmm. and it was still almost too small for the convention center. Even remodeled was too, and that's a great sign that the show was growing. But I kind of missed that small, like you were saying, I missed the early shows because there was just so much of a, oh my God, we're all here for the same thing and we're all loving this. Let's grab a pizza. Let's go up to the room and trade parts. Let's just sit around and BS for four hours.
I was looking at photos from this convention last year. And there was a photo of Don who, gosh, I guess was in his mid-20s.
BotCon 2003, I would have been 23.
Well, no, this is 2000.
Oh, 2000. Okay, 2000, I would have been 20.
Yeah, so, you looked so young and just, it was awesome. So you looked happy. Because that's your
Don,
element.
Don, I think your math might be off.
Yeah, by yeah, about
I think you're
10?
Off a couple, a decade maybe?
No, and I was born in 1970, so...
Right, so what's...
2000 would have been 30 years later.
Oh,
sorry.
I mean, you're only as old as you feel.
Then I'm 900.
I know when I was, like, you know, Don's doing pretty good. He was 30 and he felt 20, whereas when I turned 20, I felt about 40, so...
Yeah.
Well, the dealer's room is what has kept me alive and energetic for so many years. So without BotCon,
it's your
probably,
Lazarus pit.
Yeah.
Speaking of that,
without BotCon, I'm going to be getting old and decrepit here before your eyes.
So this isn't a This Week in History, but TFCon USA, the tickets are on sale. Don, you are going, right?
Yes, I did not know that. I need to buy my tickets.
So that's register. September 29th through October 1st. Most of us will be there. Not all of us, but most of us will be there. Don, so you're a couple. You're how many TFCon USAs have you been to? Two.
Three. Chicago, Charlotte, and this will be number three.
Okay. So how do you rate the dealer room at TFCon compared to like an early BotCon? It's not as big as a modern BotCon. Not quite, but.
No, it's definitely got the pre. It definitely has the pre OTFCC feel.
I think it's better than that.
Well, it's. I like the room. I like the dealer's room in Charlotte better than I did the other one in Chicago. Because Chicago was just, it was a little cramped being in that basement.
It was hot.
It was hot, and really couldn't get a lot of signals, so you couldn't check eBay or whatever the case.
I
may
love
be.
The Charlotte
I'm
Convention
pretty,
Center or the Charlotte Convention.
Yeah,
location.
They were in Charlotte. They were in Chicago again last year, and I'm pretty sure they were upstairs this time.
Good.
Yeah. But, I mean, TFCon gave me a lot of the old school BotCon feels, and...
That was the same location as OTFCC 03.
Yeah. And it was also the same location as the Supernatural convention that was going on at the same time.
That's true.
Now, that is a weird blend of conventions.
Yeah. The BotCon 2010 being right there with the Hot Wheels convention.
I was thinking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was probably worse. Because we got in free to the Hot Wheels convention by being there for BotCon, and that was sad, really sad. Okay, so I guess that's it for This Week in History. So let's go ahead and jump to the big item. Before we get to that, we are going to talk about this in full, but we really talked about these two items in full in two RFC extras or earlier podcasts this week. We did an emergency Doncast on Friday. And we did an emergency leak cast on Monday. And if you want to hear Don's first thoughts on the first item we're going to talk about, go listen to the Emergency Dawncast. It's at our website, tfradio.net. It's definitely worth listening to, as is the leak cast. So we'll talk about the RC leak first. Last week on the show, we did the show Thursday, so actually it was on Friday. We got a photo posted of a card that comes with the Generations toys of a Headmaster RC that was basically a redeco of Titans Return Blur.
There's some retooling on that too.
Yeah, there
by
is.
By the looks of it.
So you call is it? Oh God, the plot are they're not pylons, are they? The thing on the back. You called them something else.
I think we settled on the word pauldrons.
Yeah, I don't know what that word means. I would have thought pylon, but pauldron sounds good too. But so that was pauldron different.
Shoulder armor.
It is okay. Yeah, not a term I'm familiar with.
We weren't really sure what to call them. We just went with pauldrons.
Cool.
As a close enough term.
But so that was new. Head sculpt is going to be new. Looks
the
like
upper arms look like they've been resculpted too.
And this basically, Don was the most popular person on the internet that day. It was awesome.
I had almost 50 notifications when I finally got off work and was able to
Don, tell me, catch up. How did you first find out? Was it my text?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. That makes me happy.
Yeah. Cause I was in the freezer most of the day. So I wasn't using, but I'm used to being left out in the cold. So there's that.
So
you ruined it, Don.
So this made me happy. So I mentioned Hooper X a couple minutes ago. Hooper X was Don, you'll probably remember the contingent of the fandom who were trying to get, as you're trying to get a Headmaster RC, they were trying to get a new Big Daddy. So
yeah, we know each other.
Yes, of course you know each other. But it's kind of funny that in 2007, we also wanted the GoBots Crasher at the same point. So we actually got them both. And I told Hooper X, who was basically the person who was leading that charge. I was the first person to tell him via text that he got that. And the first person to tell you about this so that basically I can, you know, die a happy person that I was able to give you guys that. But, yeah, so I'm super excited. But the question came up as to where is this going to be? Is this going to be a Hascon exclusive? Is this going to be a Walgreens exclusive? Rumor and speculation right now is Walgreens, but I don't know that that is based on anything solid.
It's not. So there's another news item a little bit down about a Titan Master Ultra Magnus leak.
Yes.
Which we didn't do a special podcast
about. That wasn't
about
the same day. That was next day, wasn't it?
I believe so. So me and Rob kind of puzzled this out over the weekend, where in the background of the art for that, you can see the leg of the same RC. So my theory on this is that RC and Ultra Magnus are both leftovers from a canceled box set, the Intelligence set in this case. And if RC is on part of Ultra Magnus's card art, I think they redid totally new RC art for her card. But I think the Ultra Magnus is cut out of one of those little mini posters. If they left that in there, I would tend to think those two will probably be in a pack together. And my thinking on that is that would probably sell at the same price point we expect Walgreens to sell the clone 2-pack for, like around $25. So those, and then the hypothetical existence of refugees from a strength or no, firepower box set, which would be a Scorponok Titan Master and one other deluxe we can't really pin down yet because we have no indications. It'd be a good series of same price point exclusives for somebody like Walgreens to get.
I kind of want it to be Hascon.
I kind of don't.
I'm kidding, in a way.
Well, if it is Hascon, you have to pick us all up, Titanmaster RCs.
Diecast and I have to pick you guys up.
No, you specifically, Kilby.
You know, yeah, honestly,
I don't have to do anything.
I'll be honest with you, and this is not Hasbro's fault. In Diecast and the Emergency Leak cast started this off. And he's exactly right. We're not happy about the leaks, but we have to cover them because we're the news. Mm-hmm. We're basically the Transformers news. So I am kind of pissed off about it in general because all the awesome news and everything over the next year shot.
This is everything at least through Toy Fair for generations.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some store exclusives like the, you know, Scorponok and whatever, but in terms of mainline,
So my reason for going to Hascon basically died on Monday. So except for like the, you know, just the vacation part. So the only thing that would conceive, I guess I'll still go, I guess.
You're the official representation for the show, Brian.
But I don't care anymore because everything that we would have learned was leaked on Monday.
I mean, the only thing you have left, accident there, Matt, the only thing you really have left is there's probably going to be more stuff in the Hasbro booth display cases that was not shown at San Diego. Like, you would actually get to see some of the stuff that got leaked probably in person, close up. But yeah, I don't think, unless they talk about, like, further Walgreens exclusives and confirm our speculation on that, there's not really anything they're going to show that we haven't learned exists or will exist.
Well, they might actually show the figures combined for the first time at HasCon, which could
be...
Oh, yeah, we might learn their combiners.
Yeah, that's the only kind of thing left is just little tidbits like that. But at the same time, even without the leaks, we puzzled out the combiner thing the first day we saw this stuff. So even that's not, it's not a thing that got leaked out against Hasbro's wishes. It's just a thing that we're smart enough to pick up on.
So a couple things. Yeah. For the people listening, this is new too. Yes, we are going to go through what was leaked. So we'll get to that in a second. But I do want to mention that this leak popped up on Facebook Monday morning. I first found out when one of our friends on Twitter tweeted it at us. And I wasn't even thinking. Like, I was half asleep when I saw it. And I just retweeted it, and I was like, please be real. And then everything blew up after that. So, like, the whole day was crazy. I wish I'd take, like, I originally said I wish I'd taken Thursday off because of all the crap. Monday would have been, like, whenever I was able to catch a break, I would have to go to my tablet and see what had happened and share it, blah, blah, blah. It was just so much. But Monday night, sites that put up photos of this, we didn't put up photos. We did our podcast. They were asked.
That's around 9 or 10 Eastern time, I think.
Yes. So the question during the day was, is this real or are these fake? And we
Paladin staked its entire Kamen Rider collection on them being fakes, for the record.
So I first thought, well, man, these could just be a really elaborate fake, but it seems unlikely. But 9 o'clock or so that night, sites were asked to take down the photos by Hasbro. I mean, so as unlikely as it was that they were fake, it is now there's no chance whatsoever that this stuff is fake. This stuff is real.
To be fair, I mean, I have heard Hasbro react to, you know, fake leaks that were so close to the real thing that they decided they needed to respond. We've heard about that before.
I've heard about stuff similar to that.
But I'm pretty sure that this has to be real.
Has to be real.
You know, I think we went over this in the little mini cast we did.
John Delina holds the trademark on mini cast. If we use that, we get sued.
Yes.
Yes, the emergency league cast. But yeah, the name that was all over those does correspond to a Hasbro employee in China, the brand manager for China. And so if somebody managed to fake all this, they did an awful lot of homework and an amazing amount of custom work in the like 3-4 days time they had between Power of the Primes, you know, being revealed at Comic-Con to Monday. I think it's absolutely impossible, all considered, that this was fake.
If there was not anything in there that looked like pictures of toys we hadn't seen, like, I'm just going to put it out there, I could have done this in a weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I could have made a fake leak to this scale. I couldn't have had the toy pictures, though. That's the thing that sealed it.
And you and I, from, say, 99, 2000, probably would have done it, just for giggles, but we didn't.
And like at the same time too, I saw somebody suggest, like, you know, if this is real, why would they wait until after SDCC if this was fake, why wouldn't they do it beforehand? Why would they wait till after? Well, of course you wait till after, because then it's like 2 months until the next event where they would reveal anything. So there's all this time where people are going to be paying attention.
Yeah, they're
thinking it might be real. You don't ever reveal. You don't do it. You don't post a fake leak right before a reveal event.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes sense that after they announced all of this stuff at SDCC, that they would be sharing a lot of this stuff with their licensees and retailers and such. So it makes sense that would have happened. But
my theory on this, I don't remember if we went over this in the leak cast. My theory on where this came from is a conference call from Hasbro Asia to probably the retailers that they work with in that market to show off the new product line now that it has been publicly debuted.
Yeah.
Just based on what we can see here, that seems like the most probable point of origin for this.
So I think, so one, obviously Hasbro does not want their stuff out there because people are going to judge the stuff that comes out based on, you know, there's fan art in this, there's preliminary work, you know, so on and so forth. So, but also
final names.
Yes. But also, one thing that, strikes me is Hasbro, beat, their sales forecasts, and their numbers were announced on Monday, but their shares fell. I don't think it has anything at all to do with this. I mean, this has no impact on that whatsoever. But I've, you know, worked at companies before that are publicly held, and when things happen and numbers fall for whatever reason, people tend to react. So it didn't help at all when it came to how they responded to the leak. Didn't help at all.
If there was unease internally already, then a big leak like this would turn into panic.
Yeah. Funny enough, the Hasbro filing or their Hasbro results from the quarter cited Transformers as one of the drivers for success, which is awesome for us because, you know, the better Transformers, you know, do, the more that we get. So, which the next year looks awesome. Oh my gosh. The stuff that we saw is super exciting. It just sucks.
Oh, yeah. I'm really ridiculously excited for Power of the Prime.
Yeah, me too. I just hate that we learned about it all up front. So let's go ahead
And actually. Now we know we have to wait like 18 months for some of these toys, and it's going to be excruciating.
Yeah, so let's go. I'm just going to go through it the way that that Rob has it on T-Formers, based on class and wave. So wave one, Micronus Prime with Autobot Cloudburst.
Of the Prime Masters.
Prime Masters, yeah. Liege Maximo with Skullgrin. So the interesting thing here, and Vector Prime with Metalhawk. Interesting thing here is the actual Prime Master, which is, as we talked before, is basically a headmaster, is the primary name of this, or the item on the package, or the item itself. And then the, gosh, what do they call them? Not the Pretender Shell, but the
Decoy Suit.
Decoy Suit is the secondary name, which is weird to me, but, you know, it is what it is.
One of the interviews with the brand team, one of the ones where people talk to John Warden, basically the intent here, as I understand it, is they want to get representations of the 13 primes in the toy line. Obviously, those are not like well-known characters to a lot of less hardcore fans, let's say. So they don't want to commit like really big toys to that. At the same time, people have been asking for Pretender updates, so they kind of rolled the two things into each other. So they're representations of the primes in as much as like they're supposed to just be like carrying the spark of that character. But in terms of toys, the Titan or the Prime Masters themselves are like colored like the inner robots more or less, and then you have the Pretender shell. So it's trying to do two things at once where the fans who understand what's going on will know, okay, these are just our Pretenders, and they have the symbols on their backs.
So real quick, if you're watching the video of this, we don't have photos because they were taken down, and we're not showing photos of things that were removed. But if you want to go back and see photos, look at Facebook, look at Twitter. I'm pretty sure that we had photos on the video that we posted last week, but we're not having photos now because photos were removed. So next, we have next wave for wave two, Alchemist Prime with Submarauder and Alpha Trion with Landmine. Wave three, Quintus Prime with Bludgeon, Megatronus with Bomb Burst, and Solus Prime with Octopunch. I can't wait to have an Octopunch. So, man, I freaking love the fact that we are getting an Octopunch, a Bludgeon, a Submarauder, and Metalhawk.
I'm excited for Octopunch too, because Matt Guzzi with Awesome Toy Blog, he had an interview at SDCC with John Warden, and John Warden specifically called out Octopunch as one of his favorites, citing the Diving Bell helmet and the tentacles as like some of the interesting features. So I'm pretty confident that this Octopunch is going to be very representative of G1.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so blah blah blah. So next item that we have here, we have the Legends class Dinobot Slash, which is he, is that going to be part of the Combiner in some sense? Probably
we,
not.
At this point, we really don't have enough information to know if the Legends are going to interact again.
The only interaction we know about is with the Prime Masters and, of course, backwards compatibility with Titan Masters.
So yeah.
He may be a Yoshi. Who knows?
Windcharger. And Windcharger is a completely new mold.
Mm-hmm.
Scrapnel. Scrapnel is just the old toy. Yeah. There's nothing new there. Beachcomber is what we saw last week at San Diego Wave 2. Battle Clash. And so it's pretty awesome. So Road Trap, they'll probably be...
Combine.
Yeah, combine like the Duocons. Tailgate, probably going to be Windcharger repainted.
Yeah. The image, we could not see the name on the image, but it looked to be a white figure from the Windcharger mold, so it's pretty much got to be Tailgate.
And what else are they going to do with a Windcharger mold anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Besides wipe out.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Wave 3, Cyndrasaur.
Which is the Dinobot
recolored. Outback, assuming that's just going to be Brawn with a new head and a repaint.
Looks like
hopefully a new head. The image they showed did not have a new head, but it's so far out that was probably just a placeholder.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully a weapon, since Outback was the only mini-bot to ever come with a weapon of his own.
I mean, when I reviewed Brawn, I kind of called out that, there's the roof part that comes off, but there's still like complete roof detail under that. I think that's built in so they can switch it out for some kind of a weapon piece instead when they get around to it.
Let's see here. Deluxes, Wave 1, Dinobot Slug, or Slag as we would know him. Swoop, which is pretty awesome. Dreadwind and Jazz. So we saw Dreadwind. We saw Jazz. But Slag and Swoop, we had... Those were actual photos of the toys, right?
Yes.
The Dinobots we had, Grimlock, they looked to be two different versions of.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
But the rest, we had photos of. Wave 2, Snarl, Sludge, Blackwing, which is Darkwing, Rippersnapper, interesting, and Moonracer. So we get Fembots out of this. We get Monster Terracons and
Dinobots.
And Dinobots. And the Dinobots will probably combine.
Yeah, like I said, I am so ridiculously excited for Power of the Primes. It's not even funny.
Yeah,
not
my only complaint with the Dinobots is that Swoop does not have the cartoon blue torso,
and Sludge is tiny.
Yeah,
I mean that's the gonna be a problem too.
But
a deluxe Sludge just sounds so wrong.
But the G1 Sludge is basically the same size as the other Dinobots as well, so it's not that unheard of. Let's see here. So Moonracer is a new mold. Most of these are new molds. Moonracer, we just had a drawing for that, didn't we?
Correct.
Yeah. Wave 3 Cutthroat.
Which was one of the things sourced from fan art.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wave 3 Cutthroat, Blot, Center Twin, and Jazz. Which actually this means that we have Abominus spread across three waves, because we don't get let's see here, Rippersnapper, Cutthroat.
Well, Hunger is in Wave 3, isn't he?
Voyager Wave 2.
Okay, so
no,
so
we'll have him spread across two waves. Yeah, we'll have him.
Yeah.
So even though I just read Blot, for some reason I thought I saw Slug in Wave 4, and Blot could be a Slug. He could be a Slug, but no.
No, Blot is a big nose.
Blot is a big nose monster. But the name Slug, Blot can easily be a Slug. The name, not the animal. I don't know.
I don't really understand what you're going for here.
I don't either. So, that's Wave 3, Wave 4, Novastar, which is,
Firestar.
Blackwing again, Slug again, and Rippersnapper again. So only
So there's no new mold in Wave 4, but there's one new recolor and then three rerun toys.
Voyager's Wave 1, Grimlock. We saw a couple versions of him from the different waves. Starscream, which we saw at SDCC. Wave 2, Hunger. And Alita 1, who is going to be a Starscream.
Jet now, for some reason.
And she's a Starscream remold.
But it's Alita 1, so who cares?
It's weird.
It's Alita 1.
Now, this is one that people thought was interesting. Inferno for Wave 3 is a recolor of Combiner Wars Hotspot.
Supposedly, I don't have anything to back this up except for the word of one person who seems to have had some inside source at one point. There were pre-tool elements on Hotspot for Inferno from the beginning. So that seems like if that's true, that's just leveraging that, much like we're getting some other Combiner Wars molds reused, although I think those would have brand new parts, not existing retool parts.
In the chat, Phaserbeak says that Blot is the Afrin nose, and that is wonderful. That makes me happy. Leader Wave 1, Optimus Prime, and Rodimus Prime. Optimus Prime is, I guess he's supposed to be an 84 inspired Optimus.
Very much so. I mean, it's kind of sad in a way now that we got Power Master Optimus Prime in Titans Return, because this is a very 1984 looking Optimus Prime that has the Power Master gimmick.
It's so weird.
It is.
It is so weird. I don't know what to think of it.
But you have to remember, by the time this actually comes out in stores, the Titans Return Power Master Prime will be 2 years old.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're exactly one after another here.
True. Yeah. Optimus Prime, CF is the first toy in Wave 2, which probably possibly means carry forward.
I'm assuming, yes. Yeah.
And Rodimus. Sorry, I got my Malaysian dubs stuck in my head. Rodimus Unicronus, which is basically like a shattered glass Rodimus. So,
well, hopefully it's going to be more like the Masterpiece Dark amazing. Rodimus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wave 3. Optimus Primal. So, Rob last week had suggested... boo. Hey, boo. Screw you, dude. Rob had suggested that it could be like a deluxe size I kind of hoped Bat, but Ape Optimus.
Me too.
That would combine with somehow or form into Optimal Optimus. It would make more sense from a fiction perspective for it to be a Transmetal Optimus than becoming a Optimal Optimus. But this is something that was just represented with fan art and the Masterpiece toy, but probably it will be just a normal Ape Optimus, which makes me sad because the best one ever.
Just think about how cool the Bat idea could have been, though, where like you would plug the Bat Optimus into the back, and then suddenly the Super Optimus Primal would have like a cape.
Yeah.
Made from the Bat wings.
Oh, or it could have been like a Quick Strike in the Optimal Optimus suit thing.
Well, I mean, you still could do that theoretically. It depends how that Optimal Optimus part's constructed. You could just like plop Quick Strike down in there.
Which episode was that?
Master Blaster,
okay.
Season 3.
I need to go back and rewatch Beast Wars. It's been years.
I need to watch season 3 at some point.
And the first, assuming we'll get to, Titan class figure that we are getting is actually 5 figures. Voyager sized, who form Predaking. So we are getting the Predacons.
I hope the Predacons end up just being retools of the Constructicons.
Yeah.
I think Voyager scaled is like going to be like they're going to be loosely Voyager based.
That's the average.
Yeah. Like, I think the limbs will probably be slightly smaller than your average Voyager, and Razor Claw will be a little bit bigger. I don't think he's going to be quite as big as Titan Devastator is.
So,
you know, being thinking, that's made of 6 figures.
My theory on this, without having seen any actual toy pictures to give an indication, I think probably Razor Claw and Dive Bomb will be bigger than the other 3. And Dive Bomb will form part of the torso in order to get that bulked up and filled out a little bit more, in addition to becoming the one arm.
Yeah.
Either that or Dive Bomb will just have a ridiculous wingspan to make the finished figure look bigger.
Well, it will probably do that anyway.
Well, yeah.
There's so many weird things wrapped up in our interpretation of Predaking. And you guys did a really good job of talking about it in the leak cast, how a lot of fans have an overemphasized importance on Predaking, who's really a nothing character. But
He was beaten when Skylynx pushed him over.
Yeah. But even I really like Predaking mostly from, honestly, I think it was from two things. How that bio, that they showed at the end of, Madman's Paradise. No, whatever it was. Whatever episode they showed the Predaking bio, and the one that appeared in the comic, because the comic also had the one page bio on Predaking, and just made him out to sound awesome, but he just never appeared that way in the fiction. But like third parties, though, Diecast, what's that one you have that's just ginormous?
Feral Rex.
Like, it looks awesome, and it looks way really important. And in my mind, Predaking is about he's probably about the fifth most important combiner. So, but it's just weird.
I like Predaking from a design standpoint,
but
and that goes, you know, for like media interpretations and the original toy. It's a really cool looking design, but like, yeah, there's no like media importance. There's barely a media presence to me for Predaking.
And this is me. This is a digression. I recognize that, but when it comes to the G1 Predaking, I only have the plastic version. Does any of you have the metal version, and how do they compare? Because I've never really thought about it. Don, do you have both?
I think my Predaking is, I think Headstrong is the metal one, because I bought them loose and pieced them together. Yeah. I think my Headstrong is the metal one. I haven't looked in a while, but I believe at least he is.
So
remember when like a big accomplishment in the fandom was actually piecing together a complete Predaking?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. So we complain about variations now and like fixing something now, but just imagine if we released a combiner and one release of it had all plastic parts, and one release of it had mostly metal parts.
I did not know until I was putting one together on eBay back in the early to mid 2000s that there are two almost completely different releases of Ultra Magnus. One has a lot less paint and a lot less, you know, and not as good molding either, and plastic tires and no, or plastic wheels with no tires, and the parts are not altogether compatible on top.
Funny thing is, when you say that, I've had both and I never even realized it,
because
I've had the plastic and the rubber version.
Yeah, I had the plastic version and ran into problems trying to get pieces to rebuild it. Like, not everything fits together on the competing molds.
But yeah, so that's pretty much the leak. So things that we can't.
I mean, there was a couple pages of movie stuff too, which looks like it's. So they were all dated for 2017, which led to some thoughts of this might be canceled stuff. Signs are more that it probably is stuff that got dated incorrectly.
Yes, yeah, you're right. So like Transformers like, 6 stuff.
It looks like we're going to get at some point. I mean, it still could be canceled with the way that the Last Night stuff is selling, or not, as the case may be. But it looks like the intent right now is that we're going to get some kind of an anniversary movie line in the same spirit of Takara's Transformers the Best.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah, exciting. So can we assume from that it's the original toys or remold or new molds?
I'm thinking original.
And it makes most sense.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt they would put a lot of effort into recreating the already existing designs.
But they're terrible.
And that's up to interpretation.
And not all of them. I mean,
like, there's a lot of them, especially the early ones, that are not super accurate to what is in the movie, but at the same time, they're not necessarily bad toys.
I was fiddling with Bumblebee, and it's just not good.
Well, that's Bumblebee.
Also, you'll have to be more specific.
Well, I know.
the modern Bumblebee from the first release of the new Camaro concept from the 2007.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah.
But, like, one of the things that's in the slides was Stinger being in two waves. That seems like they would just be taking an existing toy there and making it more available, because we didn't really have access to that properly in the U.S. So I think this is mostly about using assets they already have, which, again, that's in the spirit of Takara's movie The Best.
So, a couple things, just as an aside. One, In the chat a minute ago, Ed F. said that if they did the Bat Optimus, the wings could come off and be like axes, which would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And two, our buddy Steven on Twitter, who's in the chat sometimes, is Cap Max Gaming, just found what looks to be a really nice G1 Scorponok with the headmaster and the helmet and everything for less than $20.
Damn.
Canadian.
Wow. Dude, that's like $5.
Yeah. Man, I thought I lucked out just finding the body at Goodwill for like $4.
Yeah. So jealous. So yeah. Just a shout out to Steven who found that. So hopefully you'll hear this. Yeah. Yeah. Are you good? Are we good to move along?
I think so.
Okay. 7-Eleven. I love this.
Just, you know, if you want more details on this stuff, we did like an hour, I think, on the leak cast.
Yeah, and that's a TFRD.net.
So, you know, YouTube. We went into a fair bit more detail there if you want to hear more in-depth thoughts on this.
So 7-Eleven is getting their own MP10. Basically, it's MP10 in white with their branding on it.
In place of Autobot symbols.
I'll be honest with you, I kind of want it.
I mean,
I did not know 7-Eleven was an international company. So
it is very international. They've been around forever. Yeah, you used to be able to go and download Nintendo games to like flash cartridges there. It's a big deal in Japan.
You know, they have Carl's Jr. in Japan now.
Really?
Hmm.
That's weird.
It is.
What did Japan do to deserve that?
Yes, you can also occasionally see.
That's like cruel and unusual.
What was that, Rob?
Oh, I'm sorry. You can also occasionally see 7-Eleven themed Gundams. There's been like a version of the high grade kit in like green, red, and white.
That probably looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I think it does, yeah.
That's really cool, though. It makes me very happy.
7-Eleven sounds so much cooler over there.
Yes, it really does.
It really does. Let's see.
I mean, I don't want to sound like one of those people, but like, there's a lot of things that sound cooler in Japan.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So MP10 Optimus Prime Toys R Us exclusive has been cited. And I'm trying to go back into chat to see who it was, but somebody said that they had the pre-order and it was canceled.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Or had an order canceled, which just happened to me before.
But several states, there's been reports of sightings of the MP10 Optimus in Toys R Us locations. So this is definitely the time to go out and start hunting for this.
So this is MP10. He does not have the trailer.
No, I think it does have the trailer.
Does it have the trailer?
Yeah. It's priced at $160 now.
Yeah.
I say right now because, you know, the way these things go, it'll probably be closer to $200 by the time the distribution ends.
Okay. Is there any difference between this and the original Toys R Us release, or is this just a straight?
Not that I know of.
Because I would like one with better paint, because the paint on mine isn't very good, and I would like it with, you know, a little bit better tolerances.
I mean, it's possible. You know, I mean, but that's just kind of the same crapshoot you would have if you had bought two of them in the original release.
That's true.
At the same time, like, it probably wouldn't hurt to grab a second one if you see it anyway, because most likely, even if you decide that you don't care enough, you'll probably easily get your money back out of it by, you know, 6 months from now.
Okay, so moving along, I forgot this thing existed. Alien Attack Toys presents Firage, unofficial Dark of the Moon Mirage. I forgot Mirage was in that.
Yes, as I pointed out in the news post, like, you know, don't be ashamed if you don't remember this character in the movie, because I didn't either.
It's Dino.
Yeah.
It's
the red Ferrari that didn't actually get a real toy. Like, there was a Legends toy, which was a recolor of something else that they made be this character, but, like, this did not get a mold of its own ever.
I'm assuming this is deluxe-sized.
Ferrari licensing.
Yeah, this is probably deluxe-sized.
I think they were saying it'd be in the 15-centimeter range.
It looks like a legit deluxe figure.
Yeah, I mean, the prototype looks really good. If I remember correctly, though, Alien Attack Toys is the same outfit that for like 3 years in a row has advertised upgrade kits for the Dark of the Moon Wreckers, which to my knowledge have never come out.
It looks a little more, maybe a little more detailed than a normal deluxe figure, but it looks nice.
That could just be the result of the gray prototype, though.
True.
Yeah. Someone was saying that this alien attack was actually related to X-Transbots and KFC. This is in that family of companies.
I think one of the KFC people did help like signal boost this, which would imply a connection. But at the same time, I'm just saying, like, the only alien attack thing I can think of that we knew about before, I'm pretty sure never came out after 2 or 3 years of promotion.
Okay, I'm a little scared by this next one. The Xiaomi device Optimus Prime package image reveals a functional transforming USB power bank.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, if it was just a power bank that had a picture of Optimus on it, that'd be one thing, but it transforms.
I think the battery component is all contained within a solid backpack unit.
Pretty much.
This thing will probably
not... It's not distributed around the toy.
I mean, I guess this thing would not be allowed on a plane. So this would have to be shipped here over sea.
However they get cell phones in the country.
Yeah. Man, this
I can't. I can't even get that shipped from Taobao. It won't ship.
I'm impressed. That's a shame. I'm impressed and scared at the same time. I definitely would like to have this.
If I'm reading the packaging right, it also has a total capacity of 13,000 milliamp hours.
That's good.
Which is, that's fairly high for a USB battery.
Let's see here. It says includes
2 3.6 500s.
I love how they have ages 14 plus, not a toy.
So here's the question, though.
Yeah, that's because there's a potential that you could make it explode and kill you.
Batteries included.
So I'm assuming that the bat, that's weird. So I'm assuming it has two of them. So is that two that are functionally one? If so, it would normally just say that it has a 13,000.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it has two, meaning that you would have to plug and unplug.
My guess on this is they found it was probably cheaper to put two independent 6,500 battery units in than to source one 13,000 milliamp hour battery unit.
I mean, it's due to transformation or something.
Yeah, it'd have to. I think it's transformation. Yeah.
I mean, either way, if they're listing them this way, I doubt they're wired in series where you would be able to draw from both at once.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like just drawing from both in series, but like charging, I think would potentially be. I'm not an electrical engineer. My brother-in-law is. I could ask him. That's just a little. I love the idea. It's weird. I kind of want it, but I'm afraid at the same time. It's kind of like
it's a cool looking design.
Yeah. We mentioned Titans Return Ultra Magnus. Okay.
Yeah, I just didn't know at the time what
we were going to get into
that
it.
Discussion was going to take.
So I didn't look at this. So I'm coming fresh on this. Rob posted this on Tuesday. New Robots in Disguise custom Kreons revealed. So where was this revealed? How did we find out about this?
This was another post that Autobase Aichi picked up from a private Facebook group. User by the name of Eddie Melendez posted it, and it seems to be it's Robots in Disguise. Figures basically in three different formats, regular, which is titled Armor Up, Blizzard Strike and Night Strike versions of Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Sideswipe, and Grimlock.
I need these.
Yeah, with a whole bunch of accessories with each figure.
Need these in my life.
We don't know where they were found, but odds are good since the last thing that Eddie Melendez found showed up at a Dollar General. These probably showed up at a Dollar General somewhere.
Oh, I need these. These are
probably in California.
Yeah, gotta have them. That's really cool. Let's see here. What else we got going on?
Well, our last official news item.
Let's see here. And Chris, yes, sure. We will definitely do that before we wrap up.
Inside baseball
on the scoop. I went to the show notes here. Move that. You'll see that when I post the show. I'm having to fiddle around because I keep the Skype chat closed. I had to open it up.
Oh, sorry. Spot.
It's okay.
I'll just put the next thing in the show notes, and then you'll read it.
Oh, yeah.
And
make sure that I'll read it, like, on the show.
Yeah.
Go F yourself, San Francisco or San Diego. Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. I'm glad we got to this. So I posted this here on Sunday. We're a month into the last night. We haven't mentioned this in a few weeks. And I wanted to take a look at how it's performing from an earnings perspective. This is as of Sunday, so I haven't caught any additional earnings. I actually can probably look real quick. But basically, right now, it's not doing that great. It could be doing a lot worse, but
boy, could it be doing better.
Boy, could it be doing better. So let's compare it to the previous movie. So after...
Let's start out with just that in the domestic earnings alone, it has not made back its production budget. Now, of course, internationally, it's more than made back what they spent to produce it, but like, that's not a good benchmark right there.
Yeah, that is true. Let's see here. So actually, it's not... It's made a little bit more since I posted this, but not much to worry about. Okay, so in the U.S., it's made $127 million as of this weekend.
In a month.
So yeah. For comparison, the first movie, $294 million. Second movie, $379 million. Third movie, Dark of the Moon, $338 million. And Age of Extinction, which was way down from even Dark of the Moon, was $237 million after a month. That's $110 million more than Age of Extinction, than Last Night is at. In China, where Last Night was supposed to have been super huge and made all the money back, and it was going to be a huge smashing success, it's made $226 million, $227. The first movie, $37 million, wasn't there long, wasn't a big deal. Revenge of the Fallen, $65 million. So it's doing pretty well compared to those. Dark of the Moon, $165 million. Age of Extinction, earned $320 million. So it's...
And I think each of those would be over the course of approximately 2 weeks, because that is the limit usually for how long a foreign movie can play in Chinese theaters.
Yeah, I think there may have been... it may have been staggered from the timing, because a lot of these, you look at it, and it's like over a four-week period, so certain it may have started in certain theaters and only... and started later in other theaters.
Yeah.
So $226 million is nothing to sneeze at. But
more than it made here.
It's more than it made.
And it's the second highest in China, so.
Yes. But one.
It's still way underperformed the expectations.
Way underperformed.
Yeah.
I think they were projecting / you know, praying for like $500 million in China alone.
It should have, like, the Chinese movie industry right now over 2014 is up like 85%. So the expectations to match the performance of Age of Extinction would not have been $320 million. It would have been more like $500 million.
Right.
Just like he said. So, but that's not even to do better. That's just to equal compared to how the industry is going.
Proportionately equal, yes.
Yeah. So half of that, it's not great. So worldwide, as of this weekend, it was $547 million. Again, nothing to sneeze at. That's about the end of its lifespan, though, in theaters. So, for context, the Transformers earned $710 million. Revenge of the Fallen, $836 million. Dark of the Moon, which I thought Dark of the Moon was the second largest. It's actually the largest. $1.123 billion. In Age of Extinction, $1.104 billion. Last Night's will earn just about half of what Age of Extinction earned. Again, it is in the U.S., it is a bomb. I mean, I think it's safe to call it a bomb in the U.S. Internationally, worldwide, it's not a bomb by any stretch. It's just a disappointment. So I actually got into a friendly argument with somebody on Facebook this weekend, and I pointed out that a movie that's really healthy should see about half of its profits from overseas and about half in the United States. And you know, that varies, you know, thereabouts, but generally speaking, and I went back and showed mathematically that that's the case. Like, if you look at the top 20 movies in 2017, half of them made half their money in the U.S., the other half a little bit more abroad. Transformers, it made three quarters basically of its money outside of the U.S. So it's an odd situation to be in, because it's underperformed overseas. The next movie that they make will almost certainly not do as well as this one. So what kind of risk can Paramount take in making a new movie? Can they take
apparently
the risk?
About $70 million.
$70 million is the production budget for Bumblebee.
Yeah. Now, that's not entirely in response to how The Last Knight performed, no. Because back in February of 2016, when the writer's room was like the big fresh news cycle item, they already were saying at that point, when they had the Bumblebee idea kind of cemented as a thing they were definitely going to do, they were already looking at that being a much smaller production. I don't think they had a specific number in mind for that budget at that time, but it was already planned from the start that was going to be a smaller level production.
And the thing is, so Bumblebee is probably not the only Transformer that will show up in it, but he's going to be the primary Transformer that's in it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't expect more than maybe 4 Transformers total in that movie.
And
yeah, it would be nice to...
Go ahead.
It would be nice to not have Bumblebee be Godzilla in his own movie like Godzilla was.
Nice. But in a movie like this, $70 million for a budget, it's not much.
Well, you know, but I'll be honest, Brian, a smaller, more intimate movie might actually be what we need to look at instead of just, you know, focus them on getting more out of characterization and plot and development versus special effects.
And, okay, so $70 million, yeah, it's not a lot of money to make a movie on, but there's other factors here, too. One is that they're filming entirely in California, so they don't have to budget in for, you know, global travel, moving production to different continents. And California has given them a, like, large tax incentive, which I'm sure is not counted in their budget. So, including that, they're probably working closer to $90 million.
Yeah.
They are using, so far, actors who are more unknowns, so they will not be expensive. And, again, a smaller robot presence means less special effects and post-production budget. Also, apparently they are looking at a shorter production schedule, too, which means they have all their crews and equipment and stuff engaged for a shorter period of time. So, like, it's a smaller, tighter production, so... The budget's small, but probably not, like, disproportionately so for what they're going for.
So the movie that came to mind immediately when I heard this from a budget perspective was Deadpool. Because even though it's not a Transformers movie, it's a similar amount of special effects, I would think. It would be close to it. Deadpool was made on a shoestring, effectively. They had to do a lot of compromise to make it. It was awesome, but they had to do a lot of compromise. Its budget was $58 million, so it's actually not far off. And I think we can all agree Deadpool is pretty good.
I don't mostly see it.
That's mostly from a writing perspective, though. Go ahead, Don.
And also, if this is successful and Bumblebee pulls in the viewership and makes the money back, you're going to see that same scaled-down budget. Because if it worked for Bumblebee, you know, they're going to increase it for the next regular movie. But they may try to, you know, force the issue with a smaller budget to get this tighter production schedule. So we may be seeing at least the decline of these truckloads of money going into special effects and regular Michael Bay film, and it's going to be start being a little bit leaner.
I don't know. At that point, it doesn't sound like a Transformers movie anymore. So
maybe that's what we need, is a Transformers movie that isn't what we've had.
I think the numbers for The Last Knight prove that it is time to see what else a Transformers movie can be.
That's a fair point.
I mean, I don't think it would be unreasonable to think that Transformers 6 or 7, depending how you want to count Bumblebee in the system, like, I don't think it's unreasonable to think the next main Transformers movie would have a budget of maybe more than $150
million. Especially
if the studio is pleased with the results of a small-scale thing like the Bumblebee movie doing on about 70. You know, doubling that up for a mainline movie seems about right. Especially if they take some of the lessons away, like, you know, using less locations.
That's like, if I'm not wrong, that's like a Star Trek level budget. Let me check real quick. Okay. Star Trek Beyond was $185 million.
Phew.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, and one thing is that if they can look at it from what they make domestically pays for the movie, everything overseas is all gravy. So, you know, that may be looking at trying to use the domestic gross to cover the cost of the film, and then everything else is just profit.
Yeah, so to Don's point, yes, people say China is going to make up the difference and all that. When you can bank on it, I think it's safe to do that. But most movie producers would feel more comfortable thinking that the U.S. take will pay for the movie. And then, oh, here's the thing. Just like you said, everything else is gravy. But last night was a gamble because the expectation was it wasn't going to do that great locally in the U.S. and that it would make the money overseas. It sort of did. Go ahead.
Here's a thing to look at for comparison. What was the budget of the Power Rangers movie?
But the Power Rangers, though, was like an unknown, effectively, right?
But I'm thinking in terms of the way it was filmed, the amount of special effects involved.
100 million.
How much?
100 million.
100? So, like, we could be looking at something like that in terms... I'm just thinking in terms of, like, how much special effects is involved, what kind of budget to look at for that. The casting might be different for the next Transformers movie, too. I seriously doubt at this point we're going to get the next movie in 2019.
Yeah.
I think they're going to look long and hard at how Bumblebee did and try to course correct from there however they need to. So I think we probably will, whatever the next movie ends up being after Bumblebee, is going to be a different animal and take a little more time to figure out where the series is going to actually do what the studio wants it to again.
So a couple things. I know you didn't mention Bumblebee, Power Rangers for that reason. But that looked like worldwide, domestic and whatever, that was about $140 million. So it barely made back everything. It actually may have lost money overall. But also,
which is a shame because it was a better movie than the last night.
Yeah. Specifically with Transformers, though, we're talking about Paramount. They haven't been doing that great as of late. They've had some flops. Star Trek Beyond looks like it made about three. This is not the Box Office Mojo podcast, but it looks like it made about $330 million with a production budget of $185 million. So you're probably looking at $275 million to $300 million that they would have to make their money back. It barely did. So you have to look just beyond Transformers to understand how this is going to go. You have to look at Paramount and their portfolio as a whole. And I don't feel great about it. So we'll see. So
Paramount has not had a good year.
They have not. Man, we're running long. So let's go ahead and just jump straight to Rob. What's on T-Formers this week?
Okay. Mostly it's San Diego Comic-Con stuff. We've got a Q&A with Hasbro's Ashley Creedon and Lenny Panzeca. And in addition to Jack doing the interview, XV transcribed it, so it's all up there.
Nice.
We've also got videos of The Titans Return, Transformers The Last Night, Robots in Disguise, and Rescue Bots displays, as well as the really elaborate diorama they put up for the Transformers The Last Night booth. So
you remember that part where Cogman's playing the pipe organ?
Yes.
Yeah.
They recreated that in the diorama.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
I need to go watch that video.
You know, say what you will. I enjoyed the movie.
There's galleries, too, where you can see that.
There are parts of the movie I enjoyed, and that was definitely one of them.
Yeah. I like
Cogman was a highlight.
It is my, yes. It's the one I dislike the least.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It, like I think I said before, it's the one that has the least objectionable parts of all five, and I'd stand by that.
Endorsement all around.
It's just a shame that most of the viewing audience, you know, kind of checked out before they got a chance to notice that.
Yeah.
So Don, what's on the network this week?
Well, what's on the network this week is Superhero Time Presents That One Episode of Star Trek, If Wishes Were Horses. If wishes were horses, we'd all be knee deep in Superhero Time. Or Deep Space Nine Season 1, from which we watched the episode entitled If Wishes Were Horses. Remember the one where Stumple Stillskin trolls O'Brien for most of the show? And yet somehow that's the least believable thing this episode is technobabble. The emergency RFC, Power of the Primes leak cast. On this RFC special, Chris, Matt, Diecast, myself, and Jason sit down on July 24th, 2017 for another emergency podcast session to discuss the ginormous Power of the Primes leak that leaked.
Yes.
What looks like almost everything Power of the Primes for the next year.
I need to fix
year.
That. Right now.
Syntax is hurtful.
This is like Ron Burgundy.
If tongue twisters, Don.
Yeah, if that's true, we're getting a Titan class, and it just sort of trails off. Being Awesome, episode 112, Dance Magic Dance. This week in Awesome, Rob talks about the little under-the-radar thing that nobody else talked about called San Diego Comic-Con. Holy crap, Power of the Primes is oh my god. Also talk on Imagine X Power Rangers and their upcoming new toys. Then looks like Don's going to make another disapproving poop face.
Actually, my grammar's correct on that. It's just Don didn't read it right. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
You're talking.
No. San Diego comic con that sort of threw me off.
Yes. I almost rewrote that, but I'm like, nah, Rob knows what he's writing.
Yeah. There Goes My Money, episode 25, The Voyage Home. There Goes My Money, it's Titans Return Deluxe pre-order desperation kind of day as we talk about the Wave 5 being made available for pre-order. Also, there's a really awesome Iron Factory legend size Bruticus on the way. All that and more on this week's There Goes My Money. RPG Lessons Learned, episode 12. In Kobold Hall. On this episode of RPG Lessons Learned, Dusty and Brian welcome the first guest to the show, Mike. Mike discusses the game he ran, Kobold Hall. The Emergency Doncast, Titans Return RC card leaked. On this RFC special, Chris, Matt, and myself sat down on July 21st, 2017 for an emergency podcast session to get my reaction to what might be the most important event in his life. A date? Oh, no, the semi-confirmation of Headmaster RC.
He said that.
By way of return.
That wasn't in the episode description.
I did that. On Headmaster Don's part.
I did that. And then, Diecast, what do we have for RFC reviews?
RFC reviews, we have Leader Megatron, which I do comparisons between the Voyager and the Weijang upscale Voyager, so you want to check that out. And I don't know if it counts, but tonight I will post the Shadow Fisher upgrade kit for Ironhide and Ratchet.
Nice. You also did the Leader Class Megatron.
I thought that's what he was just talking about.
Yeah. He did the Shadow Fisher thing.
But before that, wasn't he talking about the Leader Class?
I thought he was talking about the upscale Voyager Megatron.
No, there from like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Well.
And he's going to compare it to the...
But that was just posted last week. Or this week.
Well, it's still there from last time.
Okay. It's okay.
Watch it. It's a good episode. Watch it twice.
It's a good episode. Watch it twice. Of course, you can find this at tfradio.net/529 to view the show notes. Man, they are beautiful this week. So we had one thing. We had like one really big thing to talk about. Leave us a voicemail. And
that's why the show is 2 hours long.
Yes, it is. 531-994-6268. That's 931-99-GOBOT. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio and Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio and on Instagram at TF Podcast. Now, I have been slacking on the Instagram lately, but I am in the middle of reorganizing my collection. And what I really love is that there are people who are interested in what's in the background of when they're watching the video. So I will post an in-depth look at all of the stuff that I have. Once I have it done, which right now looks like 2025 is when that'll be done. So
I know how that feels.
Yeah. Yeah. So much stuff. You can follow me on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Diecast.
You can follow me at Twitter on Twitter at Diecast2. You can see all the reviews we just talked about on YouTube at RFC Reviews, and you can follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast.
Chris.
What?
Don.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EVR.
What does that mean, Don?
If you don't know by now, I'm not telling you.
Hey, Don, congratulations. You just passed 500 followers.
Yay! Thank you. I don't know why, but I'll try to keep y'all entertained.
It seems like those popped up all of a sudden because the last I remember, you had like 200 or something. So at this
maybe
rate,
it's bots.
At this rate, you'll have like 50,000 in like a month. So
and then Don will be getting personal invitations to like all the Hasbro events.
Yes, personal. I'm surprised he doesn't now. Honestly, Matt, how people get a hold of you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Melvar. I might even, you know, post something someday.
You like a lot of things, I see.
I've even been slacking on that lately.
I'm sure you'll tweet pictures of the deluxes you're going to be getting this weekend.
Jealous.
Yes, thanks to you.
Rob.
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flailthroughs. Flailthroughs is kind of dormant right now. The website is still, or the YouTube channel, rather, still updating with Gundam Battle Operation, which ends in about 5 days. And you can see the Transformers related videos that XV and I do on for T-Formers on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
Cool. John, you there?
Yeah, that John D.
Everywhere. And of course, you can find everything that we do at tfradio.net. The new site's been up for going on 2 months now. It's a lot better. It is so much better. I didn't realize how bad our old site was, how slow it was, until I was trying to pull information off of it for the new site. So if you haven't been to the new site, or if you gave up on the old site, check the new one out.
Please come back.
Yeah, come back.
Come back to us. We've changed. We promise.
We have almost 2,000 podcasts available for you to download.
Yeah.
Most of them were done the last week.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Done.
Yeah, especially the people named Shane. You know, come back, Shane. You know,
I don't get that.
I do. It just wasn't funny.
Funny.
What is it?
There was a movie. It's a long story.
It's a reference to an old Western.
Oh. Yep. Is it The Shootist? It's Shane. Shane. Okay. So is it kind of like Old Yeller? Did they take Shane out behind the woodshed at the end?
I mean, they do shoot him.
It's vaguely implied that he dies as he's riding off into the sunset.
Interesting. I kind of want to watch this now, actually. I don't know why. I should not, but...
It's better in our descriptions than probably the experience of watching it would be.
Okay. Sounds good.
I think you know everything important about the movie right now.
Okay. We'll see you guys later. Have a good one.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?